Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will begin his two-part Thanksgiving message with Paul's thankfulness. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. At this time of year, it is traditional for us to think of all the many things we have to be thankful for. And we do indeed, in our rich and free society, have many things to be thankful for. And in our lives, we have many things to be thankful for. But do we ever consider thankfulness from the aspect of the importance God puts on thankfulness in His Word? The reality is, as we look at the Bible, that it's very important to God that His people be thankful. And we'll examine what He says about thankfulness and the particular things He talks about being thankful for today in the dispensation of grace. Now, we realize as we look at the Bible that thankfulness is incredibly important to God. Now, a passage that's kind of a classic on thankfulness is from the book of Luke and the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17 and starting at verse 11, where we read, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And understand, these men stood far off and cried to him, because that was what lepers had to do. The law of Moses said that lepers could not come near the clean. They were unclean, and unclean in the worst kind of uncleanness, leprosy. They had to cover their mouths with a cloth. They had to stand far off from others and shout, 'Unclean, unclean,' when anybody looked like they might come near them. So these 10 men who were lepers wanted healing from the Lord, but they didn't dare to come near him. They just called him, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Verse 14, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Now this was a radical thing. Here these men were not cleansed, not healed, full of leprosy, completely unclean. And yet he says, "I want you to go to the priests and show yourselves to them," which is what lepers are supposed to do when they're cleansed and they want to prove they no longer have leprosy. So he says, "Go act like your leprosy is healed, even though it's not." Now we imagine these men, some of them are probably lame, can barely walk, missing toes, missing digits on their fingers, and they're probably hobbling along, some of the stronger, healthier, maybe not been as leprous as long, trying to help the weaker along, heading off for the priest. Oh, how ridiculous that was. And yet his word, they did it. And as they were going, suddenly, there they were, cleansed. But then verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." So one of them, when he realized he was healed, and I don't know if he did this before or after he went to the priest, but he turned about on back and came back with a loud voice glorifying God and fell down at the Lord's feet to thank him. Now that was great. That was what he should have done. But the problem was that there were 10 lepers and only one of them did this. And the one who did it, moreover, was a Samaritan. Now the Samaritans, remember, were the half-Jews. It was the land where the Assyrians had moved the Israelites out and had moved a bunch of people of other nations in. And eventually they intermarried with some of the natives of the land, the Israelites, and formed kind of a half-breed race that the rest of the Israelites despised and looked down on, considered bastardized. And so they hated the Samaritans, if anything, worse than the Gentiles, than the fully not Jews. And yet the one who came back to give God thanks when he was healed from his leprosy was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." So we see in this story the importance of thankfulness and the disappointment when God's people aren't thankful. It actually took a stranger to be thankful. God's people were not. In fact, the Bible reveals that lack of thankfulness is part of the beginning of humanity's downward spiral away from God. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we have this downward spiral away from God. And in Romans 1, verse 21, we see how that spiral starts. And I'm reading from the Resultant Version of Otis Q. Sellers of the Word of Truth Ministry. It says, "Because that, knowing God, they do not glorify Him as God, neither do they thank Him, but they become empty in their reasonings, and their unintelligent heart is darkened." So humanity starts out knowing God, recognizing God, realizing that He's God. And yet they don't give Him His proper glory. How many people today in our society say, "Well, I'm not an atheist. I believe in God." And yet you look at how they live, and they live as if God had nothing at all to do with their lives. Well, they're just plain not giving Him glory that He deserves as God. And neither do they thank Him. They aren't thankful. Everything we have is from God, and yet, if we're not thankful, what happens? Well, then they start serving the creature instead of the Creator. They start serving idols. They start serving animals. They start serving four-footed beasts. They start saying, "I made myself through an evolutionary tree," and they worship the lower animals as if that's where I came from. That's my gods, is the lower animals that evolved into me. And then they go from there into sexual immorality, all kinds of sexual immorality, getting worse and worse to abomination. And then the final step is that they are completely godless in every thought and action of life. And yet this whole downward spiral starts where? It starts by realizing that there's a God, and yet not giving Him His proper glory and not thanking Him. So failure to be thankful is a big reason of why humanity spirals away from God. And by the way, if you compare Romans 1 to our society today, you can see how we've spiraled away from God in the last 150 years or so. And it seems to get, the circles get faster and faster and smaller as we get down toward the bottom lately. But we have certainly moved away from God probably all down through this spiral. But it all kind of starts by not being thankful. Now today we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul, in many ways, is our example as to how we should live today. And Paul was thankful in many ways and for many different things in his books that he wrote in the dispensation of grace. So we're going to look today at the kinds of things that Paul was thankful for. What kind of things was Paul thankful for? Well, first off, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, and starting in verse 15. And again, I'm reading from the Resultant Version. He says, "Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that in respect to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers." So what is Paul thankful about here? Well, he says, "I heard something about you, and that caused me to ceaselessly give thanks for you." Well, what did he hear? He heard about their faith. He was thankful for their faith. And that's what we should be thankful for with our fellow believers, isn't it? That they believe, that they have faith in God. So many people don't have faith in God today. So many people are turning from faith in Jesus Christ. And whatever the reason is for it, whether it's the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, the onslaught of secularism in our society promoted by media, television, and so forth, or whether it is the lukewarm disinterestedness of parents that causes children to turn away and say there's nothing to it, whatever the case, it seems like fewer and fewer people believe. And yet we should be thankful for those who do believe, thankful for their faith. Paul was thankful for the faith of those he was writing to in Ephesians. their faith in what? In the Lord Jesus. Not just in God. In the Lord Jesus. He who has the Son has the Father. And he who has not the Son, he doesn't have the Father either. So we're thankful for those who believe in the Lord Jesus. Now the parallel passage to this is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, remember, is in many ways the companion book to Ephesians. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "We are giving thanks unto God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and also the love which you have for all the hallowed ones," or all the saints. So here again, Paul is giving thanks to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his prayers. And what is he thankful for? He's thankful for their faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God for the faith of our fellow believers. But then he says he's also thankful for the love which you have for all the saints, for all the hallowed ones. Now, love here is the Greek word agape, A-G-A-P-E. In English, we'd say agape. That's a word. Well, no, not talking about agape. This is the Greek word agape. And agape is a particular kind of love. Greeks had more than one word for love. You know, our English word for love is very generic. We talk about loving pizza, loving a spouse, loving parents and children, loving friends, loving God. We use the same word for all of it. Very inexact. I mean, I don't love pizza the same way I love God or the same way I love my spouse. But the Greeks had different words for love. And this word agape was self-sacrificing love. It was an ideal love. The Greeks rarely spoke of it because they generally didn't think it would happen. It was God who speaks of self-sacrificial love. And he says, "You have this agape love for all the saints." And there are multiple ways this could be true. This could be true of each other. They loved each other. And we certainly should love that way. We should love our fellow believers. Not just be thankful for their faith, but also love them. Be willing to love them sacrificially. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should be willing to sacrifice on their behalf. Then, when we talk about the hallowed ones, the set apart ones, well, think about Paul and his fellow apostles. We don't have apostles in our day. But in that day, they had apostles and prophets, people like that, inspired people who could speak God's words. And how thankful they should have been for having that. We can certainly appreciate that. We sometimes wish that somebody who could speak God's mind could tell us about what he thinks about what's going on today. What's going on among believers? What's going on in our societies? What would an inspired messenger from God have to say? But we don't have one. We're tied down to the written word of God. That's our lamp for our feet and our light for our path today. Is the written word of God. And we don't have any prophetic word or any apostolic word from an inspired man God's given us. But they did. And they loved saints like the Apostle Paul. Their apostles, their prophets, those who were teaching them God's truth. But then, these people who were new believers were also, many of them, Gentiles. Non-Jews. And coming to faith in Jesus Christ, they're now entering a faith that has, for more than 1,500 years, been traditionally the faith of the Israelite, the Jewish people. And I think they're starting to love the saints of the Old Testament. Now, we probably love those saints. We love Abraham. We love Moses. We love David. We love the prophets like Elijah and Elisha. And we love these people. We love Joseph. Why do we love these people? Well, because we've read about them in the Bible. But think about when Christianity first spread to Gentiles, when the people hadn't read the Old Testament. Well, up till that point, these men had just been the national heroes of the Jews, of Israel. You know, we know our national heroes in the United States. We know George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and so forth. The national heroes of the United States. But I don't know if they know those heroes in England or in France or in South Africa. They probably don't pay a whole lot of attention to our national heroes. any more than do you know the national heroes of England or of France? How many national heroes of South Africa could you list off? I mean, we don't know necessarily the national heroes of another nation. We know our own nation's national heroes. And the same thing was true back then. Israel knew Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew Moses. They knew David. They knew Elijah and Elisha. They knew Joseph. They knew Noah. They knew these heroes. But the people from other nations didn't know them, didn't love them. And yet now these believers in Jesus Christ were coming to love these Old Testament saints because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And that was good. And that was right. They shouldn't have just said, well, they weren't from my nation and not love them. They should have loved the Old Testament saints, just like we should today. And Paul was thankful for the love these Colossians had for all God's set apart ones. Now let's look at the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and see what Paul thanks God about for the Philippian believers. In Philippians 1, in verse 3, he says, I thank my God at the whole remembrance of you. So the first thing Paul is thankful for is for his memories of the Philippians. He says, you Philippians, I'm just thankful for everything I remember about you. Now I know that the Philippians probably weren't perfect. Maybe Paul was having a selective memory, but still, I think the Philippians were pretty good. Paul was proud of them. Paul was excited about them. Every time he remembered them, he just couldn't help but thank God because of the kind of people these Philippians were, because of the kind of believers they were. Well, I pray that we would be that kind of believer, that Paul couldn't help thinking about us without being thankful. And then he says, thanking God at the whole remembrance of you, always in every petition of mine for you all, making the petition with joy on account of your joint participation in respect to the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul was thankful for all his memories of the Philippians, but he was especially thankful for their joint participation in respect to the gospel. He says, from the very first, from the first day, from the very beginning, when you believed the gospel, you wanted to help me spread it. And remember when Paul went to Corinth, a rich city, he knew the Corinthians were very suspicious of anybody who came into their city with a new doctrine because they thought this person was just coming there to a rich city to try to enrich themselves by getting followers. And so Paul determined while he was in Corinth not to take money from them. And he was actually supported largely by the Philippians, a much poorer city. So Paul says, I'm just so thankful, Philippians, for your participation with me in the gospel. And indeed, that was a good thing to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for all those who have participated with me in my ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice how Paul is starting off all his letters with thankfulness. Notice all these, it's chapter 1, chapter 1, chapter 1 when Paul is giving thanks. He likes to start his letters with thanks. And that's a good way to start off, a letter, a prayer, anything. Start off consideration of God by being thankful. But he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who invigorates me, for he deems me to be faithful, and assigns me a service to perform. So Paul is thankful to his God, to Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Master. Why? Because Christ empowers him and deems him to be faithful and gives him a service to perform. Are you ever thankful that you're able to serve God? I remember one time we went to visit my great aunt. My great aunt had a stroke. And it caused her to be put into a nursing home. One whole side of her body was kind of dead after the stroke. Couldn't move it. And so needless to say, she couldn't take care of herself. She was around about 90 years old. And so this was toward the end of her life. She only had a few years left to go. But she was in this nursing home. And I got there, and I was standing there. I had a Christian shirt on. It said, Discovering God's Word on the front. And talking to our great aunt, and it was a sad thing to see her. But suddenly this lady wheeled up to me in a wheelchair. And she was all excited. And she wanted to tell me something, but it was obvious that she had had a stroke like my great aunt had, and it had affected something in her brain so that she couldn't talk sensibly. Well, she could talk, she could say words, and they were real words, but she couldn't string them together into a sensible sentence. She'd say things that make no sense. She'd say things that were just like random words strung together. But she so wanted to tell me something. She was waving her hand in front of my shirt. But I just couldn't make it out. What she was saying was just too confusing. It didn't make any sense. And she was frustrated. She couldn't communicate with me. I could tell. And I couldn't figure out what she wanted at the time. But later, I thought I'd figured it out. One thing she kept saying that she actually put together that kind of made sense is she would gesture around and say, "They all keep walking around." And then she'd just stop and sigh in frustration. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that in that nursing home, there was just an atmosphere of despair. I mean, these were people who knew that they were never going to recover from what had happened to their bodies. They were never getting out of that nursing home. All they had to look forward to was a few years there in broken down bodies and then death. And so an atmosphere of gloom and of despair just hung over that place. And I think here was a woman who knew the gospel. I asked her, you know, "Do you want to believe in Jesus? Do you need to know his word?" "Oh, no, no." She made it clear she knew the gospel. But see, I think she was surrounded by despair, people in despair, and she wanted to tell them about her hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet she couldn't do it. Her brain was broken. She couldn't put the sentences together. She couldn't serve God because her mind couldn't do it. So here was a woman, I believe, and of course I'm just guessing, I don't know even now that that was it for sure, but I believe here was a woman who wanted to serve God, and yet she couldn't do it. And Paul was thankful that God had given him a service to perform and that he could perform it. Well, then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and starting in verse 3, Paul says this, he's thankful for in 2 Timothy. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve away from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day." So Paul is thankful for Timothy, and he's thankful, just like he was for the Philippians, for his memories of Timothy. Timothy was a great young man, a godly young man, and Paul was thankful for his memories of him. And then he says, "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." So he says, "Timothy, I'm thankful for all my memories of you, and I'm thankful for your genuine faith. You're no pretender. You're no man who just pretends to believe to get a following or to enrich himself. No, you have genuine faith. And you're just like your mother and your grandmother before you. They had genuine faith too. And I'm persuaded you take up from them. You have genuine faith." Well, praise God. Thank God for everyone who has genuine faith. Then finally, the book of Philemon, chapter 1. Paul was thankful for certain things for Philemon, starting in verse 4. He says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Thank you for what? Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all holy ones." So Paul is thankful for Philemon for the same things he was thankful for the Ephesians and the Colossians, for his self-sacrificial love and for his faith, both toward the Lord Jesus and also his love toward all the holy ones. Verse 6, "that the setting forth of your faith may be energetic by the full knowledge of every good thing that is in your midst regarding Christ Jesus. For we have much grace and comfort in your love, because the very compassionate feelings of the holy ones have been refreshed through you, brother." So he says, "I am thankful for the setting forth of your faith, for the knowledge of every good thing that you have in Christ Jesus, and for how the holy ones have been refreshed by you." So he says, "I am just thankful for all the good things about you, Philemon." And that just sums it up. What could we thank God for more than that? For all the good things about his people. So understand that thankfulness is a critically important thing to God. It is not right not to be thankful for all that he has done for us. Lack of thankfulness was one of the very first steps in humanity's long downward spiral away from God. Paul was thankful for the faith and love of God's people, for his fellowship with them, for his memories of them, and for every good thing in them. He was thankful God put him in the ministry. Are we thankful for such things as these? Or do we only think of material blessings? Thank you for my food, for my big house, for my fancy car, for my nice job. Well, let's consider Paul's example. And let's be thankful to God for these higher spiritual gifts that he gives.
An attitude of thanksgiving is a very prevalent subject in the New Testament, especially in Paul's epistles that pertain to the dispensation of grace in which we live today. Paul leads by example by constantly setting forth this attitude in his own heart and mind. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Paul's thankfulness. On our next program, Nathan will continue his two-part Thanksgiving message with our thankfulness. Thank you for joining us today. We trust that as you are learning more of God's Word, you are learning more that you can know God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.